From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Always dreaming with a 2.5 length lead of 16th to go. Looking at Lee is second. Then comes Battle of Midway, Classic Empire. They're coming to the line, and the dream comes true. Always Dreaming has won the Kentucky Derby.
But there's 100 yards left, and Gunrunner with Gusto in the Stephen Foster Wins for Fun.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum.
Kasakwe strikes to lead at the eighth pole. It's Kasakwe in front and opening up now. Chocolate Ride battles on Bondurant and Conquest Panthera down to the wire from off the pace. It's Kasakwe.
Here on the far outside is Good Samaritan in his dirt debut, and he's charging in the center of the track. He's gone by them all. Good Samaritan has taken the lead, and he's pulling away. Good Samaritan has won the Jim Dandy.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Good morning once again, everyone, and welcome to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four, back on the road again this week, but not where you think we might be. We've been in Saratoga for several weeks, but now back in the bluegrass and coming to you from old friends. That's right, the first time we have ever broadcast from this outstanding facility, and can't wait to tell you more about it throughout the 2 hours here this morning. Happy to have you with us on Sirius 219 XM Channel 206, and of course everyone streaming us worldwide at horseracingradio.net and listening on affiliates in Lexington and Louisville. JT, good morning.
Good morning. Harvey is here.
Harvey.
Harvey.
Who's Harvey? Is it
Harvey the
Harvey the Hurricane.
Tropical depression.
Yeah, I thought we were talking about a horse.
No.
No. Harvey the Hurricane.
It's a current event. I know you stumble over those, but
I know all about that one, though.
Okay.
Yeah, nothing to joke about there. Happy to be here at Old Friends. Looking forward to the visit. Michael Blowen's going to be with us this morning. He, of course, the founder of this retirement facility for so many of our old friends who we have gotten to know on the racetrack.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can't be around Michael Blowen without having enthusiasm for our sport. The guy is tireless in his efforts, and this is a great place.
Yeah, it opened in 2003. They get somewhere between 22,000 and 25,000 visitors a year. So in addition to giving those stars that we got to know on the racetrack a place to go after their racing career is finished, they also do a great job in promoting the sport.
Yeah, absolutely. And you see the great horses here and the care that they get. And a lot of times when I visited, it's fun to walk around and a horse will run up from their paddock to see you. And it's just really cool. Great experience to come here to Old Friends and to see these great thoroughbreds that we've enjoyed over the years.
It's been a busy week in thoroughbred racing. And just because we are not in Saratoga this morning doesn't mean we're not bringing you coverage of those outstanding grade ones later today, the Spinaway and the Woodward. That coverage kicking off at 6 o'clock Eastern. Anthony Stabile and Mike Beer will have the coverage for you here on the network. Again, 6 to 7 Eastern. You can tune in worldwide exclusively on our website at horseracingradio.net. And, of course, the big story at Saratoga, all eyes on Gunrunner.
Yeah, Gunrunner, you know, he's a fantastic horse. He's one of the best in the world. He's highly rated, and we'll see what he can do. There's some people that think that there might be an upset in the making. I don't know. It's a little bit of a strange race in that it's a short field. There's some speed in there, and maybe he's vulnerable, maybe he's not.
There was a little bit of controversy, too, that we'll talk about later in the program. Anthony is actually going to be with us, the big A, in the second half of the show. Ron Paolucci, the owner of War Story, denied an entry into the race by the Nyrus stewards. He attempted to enter a rabbit to keep the pace honest for War Story, declared that he was going to enter the horse as a rabbit, and the steward said, you can't do it. So we'll talk to Anthony about that later on, but there was some controversy going into the Woodward.
Yeah, there's been a little controversy here and there with some of those horses that Luch Stable enters, and I don't really know what the answer is, but I do know that it is the right of the racing secretary to deny an entry, and whether the stewards back him up or not is a whole different kettle of fish. The rules in New York are different than rules in other jurisdictions, but you're not guaranteed an entry just because you enter.
One other item of note from this past week that was making headlines, and rightfully so. Last week, you and I got to watch Songbird go to the post at Saratoga and that tremendous Traverse Stakes program that they put on up there at Naira. And she was defeated by Forever Unbridled. Songbird officially retired now, according to her owner, Rick Porter. She will no longer race, but boy, some tremendous memories. And a horse that never once finished worse than second. Pretty
yeah,
good.
She's amazing. Very talented filly. And, you know, the horses that have beat her are excellent horses. It's not like something fluky ever happened. She got beat by some very tough competition.
Yeah, only two losses, right? She lost to Beholder. She lost to Forever Unbridled.
Right. I mean, what's wrong with that? There's no disgrace in that.
No.
They said she had some bone bruising. That's kind of the popular thing nowadays that horses get that causes retirement or whatever. So, you know.
Do you think she lost a step?
No. I don't think she lost a step. I'm actually a little
surprised
that they retired her. But, you know, look at it this way. If, in fact, your veterinarian tells you, okay, the horse has bone bruising or whatever, you're going to give her 3 months or 4 months or whatever, then you got to bring her back. By that time, it's going to be breeding season. What if she comes back, she's not in the mood to run anymore? What if, you know, or you know, you have a setback? Listen, she's given the owner nothing but pleasure.
Right? She owes the sport nothing.
Yeah, well, the sport doesn't pay the bills, but she Rick Porter has had nothing but pleasure from this filly. Why would he want to gamble? Why, you know, it's time for her to make babies. You know, she's not getting any younger either. So, you know, I think all in all, it makes sense fiscally and responsibly to retire her now. Why not? But I think she's just as good as she ever was.
Yeah.
And this notion that people have nowadays that horses have to win every race, it's ludicrous. Horses are not, you know, bred to win every race. Sometimes they win, sometimes they lose.
Yeah.
But I think people have unreal expectations.
She may not have been as brilliant here in 2017, but she was still winning grade one races, and she was defeated narrowly by Forever Unbridled, who had, you know, everything. She had to give everything she had to run her down in the stretch. So I for the people that say Songbird lost a step, I think that's ludicrous.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of people that say a lot of things that don't really know what they're talking about.
Now there's talk that Forever Unbridled may tackle the boys in the Breeders' Cup Classic. What do you think?
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah?
Why not?
Well, you're always about running them in the spots they belong.
She belongs. I like restricted races. If you can run against fillies, I'm all in favor of it. But I mean, you know, why not? That was pretty impressive what she did. And, you know, she should handle the distance no problem. So I say why not? It's not a very strong group of horses we have in the older division right now, in my opinion. If Airgate, you know, doesn't perform the next time, he's, you know, going to be nothing but a memory. So
yeah, it's really Arrowgate, you know, and Gunrunner at the top of
right.
that list, right?
Yeah, so why not take a shot? You just beat the best filly in training, right?
Isn't that funny? A few months ago, we're talking about Arrowgate being the second coming and maybe the next Man of War, the next Secretariat. And now we're saying, well, it's not that strong of a group of older horses if Arrowgate doesn't return to his previous form. It's amazing the way this game works.
Oh, yeah. It's up and down like a yo-yo, you know. And you know, Gunrunner's a nice horse, but now people are talking about people are saying, here's Joe Steiner, the man. My favorite jockey.
Going to walk into old friends.
My favorite jockey in the whole world.
So. He's just saying that because you're here, Joe. By the way, you should.
Oh no, that's not true. There's a very small select group of jockeys that I actually like. Everybody knows this is true.
This is coming from the guy who has a jockey ashtray that he flicks ashes into. So
yeah, I don't use it. It's worth $3,000, but I do look at it very often. So apropos, but. Anyway, you know, I think it's great. Dallas too. Dallas is, you know, I'm not going to put him in the same category as the Chief as an upset maker, but he's won some big races at big prices.
Been second in some big races with some big prices too.
Yeah,
round out your exacta like nobody else.
He's a very smart guy. He's a much better trainer than people give him credit for. You know, he's a Lucas disciple, just like Todd Pletcher and Kieran McLaughlin and those guys. But it seems maybe it's because you know, he spends a lot of time in New Orleans or whatever. He doesn't get the same respect as the other guys, but believe me, he's every bit as good a trainer as the other guys that are, you know, more fashionable. So I think Dallas is the kind of guy where if he decides he wants to do that, that's a good move.
All right, so here's what's coming up over the course of the next 2 hours this morning. When we come back from our first commercial break, we're going to spend time visiting with Michael Blowen, the founder of Old Friends, as we tell you more about this awesome facility here in Lexington, Kentucky. We'll do that for the first couple of segments of the show. Coming up at 9 o'clock Eastern, you're going to hear from jockey Nick Juarez, and we'll talk to him about pairing up with his new agent, super agent Ron Anderson, but we're also going to talk to him about Valid, who he rode for many, many years. He just recently rescued, so to speak, Valid, who is racing now in races in Colorado, and he brought him back home. And I had a chance to talk with Nick on the phone earlier this week, and he is just ecstatic to have the big horse back on his farm and adjusting to life after racing. So you'll hear that story coming up 9 o'clock Eastern. 9:20 Eastern, the Big A, Anthony Stabile, joins us from New York to talk to us about the Woodward, the Spinaway, and all the great races on that Saturday afternoon program. And then we'll bring you our Right or Wrong segment and all kinds of different topics coming up later in the program. So stay with us. It's a very, very busy show. We'll kick it all off with Michael Blowen next, right here, live from Old Friends on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is HRRN, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Have you been looking for high-quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-5480.
Want to enjoy an exciting night of horse racing overlooking beautiful downtown Lexington? Watch as Kentucky's top standardbreds compete in the Kentucky Sire Stakes held at the historic Red Mile. The Kentucky Sire Stakes is a month-long culmination of Kentucky's leading 2 and 3-year-olds competing at the Red Mile to be crowned Kentucky's best trotter and pacer. Sponsored by the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission, the Kentucky Sire Stakes Finals, Sunday, September 17th, first post, 7 p.m. For more information, visit www.khrc.ky.gov.
I'm speaking with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, can you explain how the claims process works? Knock on wood, I haven't experienced a claim recently and hope I never will, but what happens?
Well, Mike, after we are notified by the insured of an accident or event, we will submit a claim report to the company, giving basic details of the claim. A claims representative will then contact the insured to walk them through the claim settlement process. Most claims are settled promptly, efficiently, and to the complete satisfaction of the insured.
Well, that sounds fair.
Basically, the insured is buying an insurance policy, which is a promise to pay in the event of a covered claim. It also provides peace of mind, absent of a claim. That's the way it works.
Thanks, Joe. For all your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. You gotta know Joe.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Into Mischief is North America's emerging top sire, the world's leading 2-year-old sire in 2016, and America's leading 3-year-old sire in 2017, with his biggest and best crop still to come. Into Mischief, standing at Spendthrift Farm.
Okay, this is Carl Nasker, and I listen to HRRN.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Cigar trying to get him as they reach the top of the stretch. Louis Couture is in alphabet soup, fighting ungainly. Mont Sassafras clinging desperately to the lead. Alphabet soup in with an upset chance. Cigar, the heart of a champion, trying to get him. It's alphabet soup. Cigar on the outside. Louis Couture. Alphabet soup has scored a shocking upset. Cigar has been denied another victory in the Breeders' Cup Classic. There they are. They came under the line, and it was Alphabet Soup and Chris McCarron. A brilliant ride today. Cigar was hung up wide the whole way. I am sure that was the winning difference this afternoon.
Tom Durkin with the call of that memorable Breeders' Cup Classic. Alphabet Soup, Cigar, Louis Couture's battling it out at Woodbine, and it would be Alphabet Soup who gets the victory. My wife, Michelle, loves that race call, by the way. Actually despises it. That is when she and I were just kind of starting to date and everything, and I was getting her into horse racing, and we went to an OTB in upstate New York, and she made a bet that morning on the Breeders' Cup Classic, and her horse was Alphabet Soup, and at the last minute she went back in, changed her ticket, took Alphabet Soup out of the exacta, and because of that she did not win. So I played that just for her.
I'm surprised.
Because I'm such a nice husband.
Well, there's a word I'd like to call you, but nice husband isn't it.
Model husband? You know, because, by the way, Alphabet Soup is here at Old Friends, which is where we are this morning here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, and happy to have you with us on the Equine Forum. We're going to talk to Michael Blowen about Alphabet Soup and all the outstanding horses who are here at Old Friends momentarily. But before we do, we need to remind you that on Saturday, September 16th, you can watch and wager on the Rico Woodbine Mile live from Woodbine Racetrack. That weekend, over $2 million in purses will be up for grabs, all highlighted by the Grade 1 $1 million Rico Woodbine Mile. You also have the Grade 1 Northern Dancer Turf, the Grade 2 Canadian, and on Sunday, you'll see the Grade 1 Natama and the Grade 2 Summer Stakes. That's three Breeders' Cup winning your in races over the weekend starting Saturday, September 16th. Woodbine will have large guarantees with $150,000 into the early and $250,000 into the late pick four and a $50,000 early and $100,000 late pick five guarantee. And of course, they'll be offering their 20-cent bet minimums on all Triactor, love saying that, Superfecta pick three, and pick four pools that afternoon. For more information, just go to WoodbineRacetrack.com. Michael, thanks for having us, my friend.
Oh, this is great. Nice to have you guys here.
Alphabet Soup, Louis Couture.
I bet Cigar that day, and I was really annoyed that Alphabet Soup won. And now, years later, I'm really glad he did it because he's really a cool horse and he's here. And he's one of several Breeders' Cup Classic winners that we've had here at Old Friends. So. Yeah. Very exciting, and he's a beautiful horse, and he's got a wonderful disposition. And it's funny to watch him. He's so white and Warrenbloom so black, and they're in the adjoining paddocks, and they talk at night and whatever they're talking about. I don't know. But it's really cool to see them together.
The speed. You're the closer.
Yeah, right. What a combo they would have made.
This is such a special place. I mean, Alphabet Soup is among several outstanding racehorses who are here and have been here at Old Friends. Names like Silver Charm and Game On Dude, Amazombie, Precisionist, Touch Gold, You and I, Sarava, even old Zippy Chippy has a place here at Old Friends.
Yeah, Zippy Chippy's at our facility up in New York, just outside Saratoga. Yeah, Zippy's, as people might already know, was 0 for 100. That was his big claim to fame. I remember one day watching Zippy, I think he was 0 for 94 at the time, and he finished second either at Great Barrington or at the Three County Fair and or at Northampton, and there was an inquiry, and they were going to bring him down, and they were going to put up Zippy, who finished second. Mm-hmm. And it was obviously a clear infraction, and Felix Montserrat, his trainer, started climbing up the outside of the steward stand screaming, "No, he can't win like this. No, he can't win like this." It's the only time I've ever seen a trainer complain about their horse getting put up.
Who was the football? Was it Chad Johnson of the Bengals that he raced against, too? Wasn't that the promotional thing that they did?
It wasn't Chad Johnson, but it was somebody else. You know, I know who it was. He ran against Donald McDonald, who played for the Red Sox for a while and played for the Yankees for a while. He ran against him and he beat him. Actually, Zippy actually won, and And actually, after Zippy retired, we got a call from the baseball player asking for a rematch. I said, no, he's retired. You should do the same.
Great stuff. I bet you he would have won at some point if jockey Joe Steiner was aboard him, because Joe knew how to win a few races in his day. He won more than 1,000. He won some great stakes. And he's with us now, too. Joe, happy to have you with us, buddy.
I'm glad to be here. In great company.
You're living here on the farm now, right?
I am. We're living right on the cusp of the farm. So, yeah, we're right on the outer lying border of the farm here. Just a comfortable, beautiful place to be.
What's it like to be surrounded by all these great horses?
It's amazing. Yesterday, I had my son. He's 2 years old, and my wife, and we hopped in a golf cart and we cruised around and visited different horses. And there's so many great characters over here with us, so much personality. And wow, we're just out there, and they come up and just sniff on my little boy, and then he's petting them. And my wife fell in love with a horse yesterday, and she's like, oh, I'm in love with this horse now. And it's like, you know, and it's just a peaceful, wonderful place to be, and it's an honor to be around and see these horses have this life they have here. So yeah, and I love being part of it, because I always have been. You know, when I was riding, I always had old friends on my pants, and always trying to bring awareness to old friends. And now they're starting to get a lot of recognition, and it's really really nice.
Yeah, your wife, when she falls in love with a horse, she just paints him.
Yeah, she just paints him, and she's painted a lot of horses.
She's a painter.
She's an artist. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So she's. She's painted quite a few of the horses here at Old Friends, and they're working on a coffee table book, which Michael Blowen's going to be the writing about each horse, and Jay Hovday also. So it's going to be pretty nice. I believe they're going to get that done this year. And she's also been fortunate enough to be painting the Pacific Classic winner each year the last 4 years at Del Mar. So. She's if you go to Del Mar, you see her, the painting up on the wall. She's done those.
That's cool.
So, yeah. So
every time I hear coffee table book, I think of that Seinfeld episode.
Yeah.
A coffee table book about coffee tables. Right?
A coffee table. Yeah.
Well, some of the coffee table books are big enough to be coffee tables.
That's right. No, that's a good idea. Maybe you should invent that for your project.
It's a coffee table book.
Just put four legs on the back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many acres do you have here, Michael?
Well, we started off with 52. Then we bought 40 in the back. That's 92. Then we got 46 next door. And now we have to land all the way down to the traffic lights. That's another 96 acres. So
it's like Park Place and Boardwalk, right?
It's funny because we couldn't go that way because that's Edgehill Farm. We couldn't go across the street because that's Summerwind Farm. If you haven't been over there, they've got amazing mares over there, including Little Princess Emma, the dam of American Pharoah, and so we couldn't go there.
Is that where they had the otters, too?
Yes.
It is, right? The pet otters?
Yeah.
I remember that.
Oh, yeah. It's a great place. And then, so the only way we already got the land, all the land we could get back in the way in the back, and then, so the only way we could go was that way, and we made arrangements to get that, and we're raising the money now to put up the running sheds and get some of these great horses off the waiting list and onto the farm.
How many would you like to have?
Well, if we got that property all up and going, we like to have an acre and a half to 2 acres per horse. We probably won't do that, but it'll probably be pretty close. So we could take about 45 more once we get that land up.
Take us back to the beginning, Michael. I mentioned you started this in 2003. Hmm. What was the idea behind it? How did you come up with this?
Well, fortunately, when my wife and I both took the buyout at the Boston Globe, when we were both there as writers, and we were both retired. We didn't have any responsibilities. Our parents had passed away. My son moved to Australia. So we didn't have any real responsibilities. And as a going away present for myself, a retirement present, I decided to go to the Belmont the year the Point Given won. And I went, and I ran into some friends of mine from the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. And one thing led to another. And I think they had too much wine, but they had invited me to be the operations director for the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. And that's when I wanted to move to Kentucky, because I didn't want to open up another office. I didn't want to do it from Boston. If we're going to do it, let's do it right. So I said to Diane, my wife, that I wanted to move from Harvard Square to Midway, Kentucky.
From the sublime to the ridiculous.
And About 20 minutes later, she says, okay, I'll go with you, but only under one condition. I said, okay, what's that? And she goes, that when I leave you, you won't come looking for me. So that's how we got here. And I did that for a year and a half with the TRF and learned an awful lot. So, you know, really wonderful organization, and I just learned a lot. But the two things that I wanted to do is I wanted to be more hands-on, and nobody was taking stallions. And right about that time, you know, we were getting requests from the TRF to take these wonderful stallions, and we couldn't by the bylaws. And I thought, you know, when I first came to Kentucky, I wanted to see Bull Forbes and the other horses over at the horse park. And there's no place in Kentucky where you can come see these great stallions or even feed a horse a carrot. So I thought this was a good idea that we might be able to try something. So I decided that we'd start something. I didn't want to just replicate what all these other groups were doing really well already. So I thought if we went after the stallions and gave them a spot, they would be stars, and because I used to cover the movies, I knew people like movie stars, and I never felt that strongly about the movie stars, but when I see these great horses, my hair, what's left of it, stands up, you know? And I got really excited about seeing them, and I thought, I can't be the only person that feels this way. And the horse park has proven over the years that that's clearly not true. People come from all over the world to see their horses, and that now they come from all over the world to see ours, so... That was basically impetus. So
you told me there was a horse by the name of Taylor Special who mm-hmm. was instrumental in helping you kind of get things off the ground.
Taylor
too, right?
Special was great. I think it was 1984. He won the Louisiana Derby, won the Bluegrass Stakes for Bill Mott. I think it's Bill's first millionaire horse.
Wow!
And there was a group up in the state of Washington called me. They were called Hope for Horses, and they found him wandering around in the woods. And they checked his tattoo and found out it was Taylor, and they asked if we wanted him. And I said, yeah. By this time, we had a few horses, and we sort of knew what we were doing at that point. And so he came down here. When he got here, of course, he wasn't in really good shape. I mean, he looked looked like an old mule, and he wasn't that attractive anyway. But he lost a lot of weight, and you know, he'd been through something. And he didn't even have a very nice temperament. But I'm glad we got him, and we were over at Hurstland Farm at the time renting some paddocks, and we brought him over there. Now, at the same time, found out that this farm that we're at now was available and cost $1 million, and I had no money. And so I didn't know quite what to do, but I knew if I went to a regular big bank, they'd just laugh at me. And they did it at all the banks, no matter what size they were. I found out subsequently. But anyway, I went to Whitaker Bank. Elmer Whitaker owned the banks, and Elmer owned Blamazon Farm, and I knew he was into horse racing and he might get this. So I just made one request. I just said, would you and Mr. Calloway, the president of the bank, just come on a tour? So I came over to Hurstland Farm. At that time, we had, I think, 16 horses, including Ogaijin and Phrase and Sunshine Forever and Creator and some nice horses. And Taylor just come from Washington. He looked terrible. In fact, I thought we should have put him down up in Washington. He looked so bad. But he survived and prospered after it. But so another time I was wrong. But anyway, I'm giving them a little tour, and I think I'm doing a good job explaining how Phrase won the Breeders' Cup Turf and beat Sky Classic and all this kind of stuff. And I'm getting nothing from these guys. It looked like they wanted to just go back to a bank meeting. And finally, we get the Taylor Special. And all of a sudden, Mr. Whitaker gets very animated. He goes, is that Taylor Special? I go, yes, sir. He said, that horse cost me a fortune. I said, what do you mean? He goes, well, I have a horse named Fightover. Well, now I know that every time they raced against each other, Fightover, who stood at Blamazon Farm for Mr. Whitaker, finished second all the time to Taylor. And he did cost him some money. So, you know, with the idea that he wasn't going to give us the money anyway, I just said to him, well, think of it this way, Mr. Whitaker. If you loan us the money, I'll put him up for collateral, and you finally own yourself a good horse. So he kind of laughed.
That takes a few guts to do it that way.
Yeah.
Well, at that
interesting
point,
negotiation.
When you have no money, it's not a problem. you can't get
nothing
lower.
Nothing ventured, nothing gained, right?
So about 2 weeks later, I get a call from, oh, I know. So I gave him a CD, I'm sorry, a DVD of Taylor Special's races where he get Fightover beats him over and over again. And I said, here, now you can watch your horse get beat over and over again. So he gave me $20 for this. He gave me a $20 donation for the for the video. And then he told me that he tried to figure out how things can get done, not how things can't get done. 2 weeks later, I get a call from Jim Callaway, and he says, I have some news. I says, is it good news or bad news? He says, you're going to have to decide for yourself. I said, what's that? He says, well, Whitaker Bank has decided they'll loan you $850,000, but you have 2 weeks to get $150,000, and it can't be a loan. I said, well, that's pretty – I think this is pretty good. Everybody else says, well, that's the end of that. You know, where are you going to get $150,000 in 2 weeks? This is ridiculous. And I even was tempted to call you up and play a pick six joke. Go Habsies.
That's been done before.
So I thought about it. And years earlier, I used to teach at Emerson College in this Emerson College in Boston. And the school, in their wisdom, denied my friend John and I tenure. And so we had to go out and do whatever we were going to do. And that's when I went into the newspaper business, and he went and bought a lot of old buildings in Boston and rehabbed and made a lot of money. So I called him on a Tuesday, and I said, John, here's the deal. I need $150,000, and I can't sign any papers. It has to be a gift. I will pay you back. I promise you I'll pay you back. But I can't write that down. So it was a Tuesday. He said, oh, I'm not doing anything on Thursday. He said, I'll fly down on Thursday. We'll play a little tennis, and I'll write you a check. And that's how we got the farm with no money.
Beautiful. Wow. And what a great story.
About a year and a half later, we refinanced. I pulled $50,000 out for new fence and some other things and paid John $150,000 and $1. I wanted it to be a good deal for everybody.
And now, of course, Old Friends welcomes between 22,000 and 25,000 visitors a year. The carrot budget is just out the window. They go through 14,000 pounds of carrots a year. How'd you afford that?
Well, first of all, we only pay for half of them. It's the Old Friends deal. There's a wonderful restaurant on the Old Frankfort Pike called Wallace Station, and Wallace Station gives us a couple hundred pounds a week. So
beautiful. Great stuff. We have to get to a break, gentlemen. When we come back, we'll continue this visit. Michael Blowen with Old Friends. Joe Steiner is with us. We're going to talk to Joe about some of his memories with some of his old friends that he was aboard when he was riding races out in California and around the country. We'll talk to him about that next, right after your Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you every single Saturday at this time by the Lexus store of Lexington, right here on the corner of New Circle and Liberty. And if you're in the market for a new vehicle, a pre-owned vehicle, head out and see the Godfather, Tony Attiano. Go see Mike Hendricks. They're horse people. They want to be the dealership of the equine industry. Yeah, budget a little extra time, though, because they're going to talk horses with you long before they even show you a vehicle. But go see them. They'll take care of you. It's the Lexus store of Lexington on the corner of New Circle and Liberty. And we're back with more right after your Lexus Legends of the Turf.
It was 1942. America was in the throes of a worldwide conflict. Guadalcanal had not yet taken its final massive toll. Rationing, victory gardens, Rosie the Riveter, and victory bonds were the common bywords of the American public. Sports had Joe Louis, Joe DiMaggio, and Whirlaway as national idols. On Saturday, September 19, 1942, amidst the vast, massive war effort, the marvelous 3-year-old Thoroughbred Alsab and Calumet's 4-year-old Whirlaway, who had won racing's fabled Triple Crown in 1941, went postward in a much-anticipated, much-ballyhooed match race at Narragansett Park near Providence, Rhode Island. The race itself was the concept of Judge James A. Dooley, the president of Narragansett, and it was a winner-take-all, wait-for-age affair for a then-huge purse of $25,000. The track's profit for the day was to go to the Army and Navy Relief Fund. There were more than 35,000 racing fans on hand at Gansett that day, and they were not to depart disappointed, for what was about to unfold was to become, to this very day, one of the all-time classic confrontations in the world of sport. Alsab, the 3-year-old, carried 119 pounds, while Lowell Longtail, as Whirlaway had come to be affectionately bemonikered by the racing public, had an impost of 126. Both were razor-sharp and were escorted to the paddock by a special police guard. In stall two, Ben Jones, the trainer of Whirlaway, assisted by his son Jimmy, saddled the Calumet standard-bearer in the famed Devil's Red and Blue Silks. Tightening the girth in stall six on Alsab was the redoubtable Sarge Swenke. There was an enormous crowd around the paddock trying to position themselves for even a fleeting glimpse of the two titans of the turf. A loud, prolonged applause rippled through the stands as Carol Bierman and the Irons aboard the great Alsab and the infamous Georgie the Iceman Wolf on Whirlaway brought their stalwarts postward. Whirlaway was the 3-10 favorite, Alsab 8-5. The distance of the race was 1 3/16 miles, and as the gates flew open, the Devil's red and blue silks of Whirlaway flashed to the front along the rail. Bierman aboard Alsab quickly picked up the pace and, as expected, quickly hustled his mount to the front, crossing over to the rail. It was Alsab by a length and a half going to the clubhouse turn, but Wolf had the big Calumet colt going along easily and would not allow Alsab to get off and set an uncontested pace. They hit the quarter in 25-2, and as they rounded the turn going to the long run down the backside, it was Alsab by two, with Bierman constantly glancing back at his rival, who was keeping closer to the pace than was his normal style. They hit the hop in a rather pedestrian 50-2. Going to the far turn, Bierman let Alsab out a notch, and the lead was open to three, with the three-quarters having him run in a snail-like 114 flat. Rounding the bend, Wolf dashed Whirlaway for a bit of run, and his mount closed the gap to two as they hit the quarter pole. At the top of the stretch, with 3/16 to the wire, the two rivals were just heads apart after having gone a mile in 1:38.3. Then came that never-to-be-forgotten stretch run that was to be forever indelibly etched in the minds of those in attendance on that gorgeous fall afternoon in New England. With Wolf going to the whip, Whirlaway pulled dead even as the two combatants were eyeball to eyeball. The huge clamor from the enormous crowd reached a crescendo as the two magnificent thoroughbreds matched powerful synchronized strides. Both riders were now using all of their consummate skills, driving furiously, both horses digging in, responding with every ounce of courage and strength they could muster. With colors glistening in the bright sunlight and the inseparable thoroughbreds in symmetrical full stride, it was literally like watching poetry in motion, an absolutely marvelous spectacle of sport. They thundered to the wire, locked together, a ton of horseflesh, inseparable, in an absolutely breathtaking finish. The final time of 1:56.2 flashed on the board, meaning they had run the final 3/16 in a rapid 17-4. Coming back to the winner's circle, shaped in the form of a large V for victory in the war effort, both were loudly cheered. Then came the agonizing and suspenseful wait as the crowd buzzed in disagreement over which had won after they both hit the wire together. When the photograph was developed and Alsab's number flashed on the board, a winner by the very narrowest of noses, the shouting and applause were deafening both for the winner and the loser. It had been a truly magnificent effort on the part of both great horses. The very first to congratulate Alsab's owner Al Sabbath and trainer Sarge Swenke for their win was the magnanimous trainer of Whirlaway, Ben Jones. Alsab versus Whirlaway, September 19, 1942, at Narragansett Park, a most assuredly classic confrontation and indeed a great moment in the world of thoroughbred racing.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
You know, it was right about 2 years ago at this time that a new restaurant opened on Main Street, and it's quickly become a favorite for anybody that wants the best steaks and the best seafood. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood. They were just named one of the best steakhouses in the nation by TastingTable.com, a very big national website. Why don't you give them a visit? It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood on Main Street, TonysSteaksAndSeafood.com.
Denali Stud, led by 2015 Farm Manager of the Year Gary Bush and Donnie Snellings, regarded as one of the best yearling managers in Kentucky. Denali has in recent years raised Grade 1 standouts Animal Kingdom, Taprit, and Her Eminency, while consigning Grade 1 winners Constellation and VE Day. Consistently a top 5 consigner, Denali has sold a $1 million horse at the Saratoga sale 3 years running and the sale topper in 2 of those years. Conrad Vanderoff and his father Craig continue the Denali tradition of attention to detail and raising and selling Saturday afternoon horses.
Wonder what it feels like to be an owner inside the paddock before your horse races, but you don't know how to get started? Contact West Point Thoroughbreds to get inside the game. You can play in a big way, right away, by owning pieces of multiple horses, which increases your chances of action. West Point has been professionally managing racing partnerships for 25 years. West Point Thoroughbreds is the gold standard in racing partnerships. Visit westpointtb.com. That's westpointtb.com. This advertisement is for informational purposes only and is not an offer to sell securities.
Power.
Here's the wire, and it's a photo finish that goes to Tonalist.
Passion.
It was creator and destined right on the wire, and Iran Ortiz raised his whip in victory.
Performance.
It is Taprit and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Gainesway Stallion Taprit, North America's leading sire in 2014, 2015, and 2016. Taprit has sired 23 Grade 1 winners, 20 yearlings that bring $1 million or more at auction, and earners of more than $116 million on the racetrack. Taprit's newest Grade 1 winner, Dream Dancing, stormed home to take the Del Mar Oaks. Other Grade 1 winners include Frosted and Ring Weekend, Phillies Sweet Loretta, Pretty City Dancer, and Time and Motion, and the winners of 3 of the past 4 Belmont Stakes, Tonalist, Creator, and Taprit. Look for Taprit yearlings at the upcoming sales. Taprit. Standing at Gainesway.
This is Al Stahl, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Gunrunner turning for home in the Whitney. In front, Mike Two. On the outside, Breaking Lucky is second. Keen Ice has made his way up into third, but he's still far behind. And now Florent Giroux lets Gunrunner go, and he's opened up a four-length lead. Breaking Lucky is second. Keen Ice on the outside is third as they come to the line. Gunrunner wins the Whitney. He won it by 6 over Keen Ice. Breaking Lucky was next, and then came War Story. The final time was 1 minute 47. 0.71 seconds.
Mike Pennett, Jude Feld, back with you on the Equine Forum here on HRRN, live from Old Friends in Lexington. And boy, it's been a fun visit so far. Looking forward to continuing this visit with Michael Blowen and jockey Joe Steiner here in the next segment. That was Larry Colmus with the call. Gunrunner winning the Whitney. He's back in action Saturday afternoon in the Woodward. He'll be a prohibitive favorite in that race, and we're going to talk more about the Woodward Day card at Saratoga with the Big A, Anthony Stabile, in the second half of the show. Don't forget our coverage coming up 6 Eastern today. That coverage can be heard exclusively, horseracingradio.net, and you can listen on your computer, smartphone, or mobile device, horseracingradio.net, and check out that coverage, 6 to 7 Eastern, all presented by our friends at visitbarbados.org. Joe, we were talking before the commercial break, and even during the commercial break there, that your favorite horse of all time is right here, not far from us here at Old Friends.
He sure is. Yep, Silver Charm is my favorite horse that I ever worked with. I worked with him the period of time where he ran in the Kentucky Derby. I worked him up to that race as once Bob got into Kentucky. It's actually when I first met Bob Baffert. So I was coming off a broken leg injury, and I was getting fit. And so he goes, "Can you work this horse?" And I worked him, and I thought, wow, he's nice. And that was always my dream as a jockey to win the Kentucky Derby. And I've had two chances, and both times the horses got hurt leading up to it. And it's like winning the lottery to get there, and then it's another lottery to win the race. So, anyways, he ends up winning the race, and I get to work with him through the Derby, the Preakness, and the Belmont. And wow. I mean, it's working with a horse like that, it really is a life changer. I see where, you know, like Secretariat and these people, and for the rest of their life, that period of time is something they focus on from the past. So it was a great experience for me. And yeah, he's right here, and he's just as amazing as he was then.
What's your favorite Silver Charm moment?
Oh, man, there were so many.
Tell them the one about the Belmont, Joe. Tell them the one before the Belmont.
Okay, we're getting ready to work for the Belmont. There's a $5 million bonus for the win Visa's putting up. I'm getting ready to get on him, and Bob walks up and he goes, "You can't mess this workout up." And I go, "All right. I usually don't, you know."
I'll vouch for that.
Yeah, I usually don't. So he goes, "Well, they just told me this morning he's valued at $37 million. And I go, "Wow, then why do you got to tell me that right now?"
Couldn't wait till after the work?
Yeah. So then I was feeling a little pressure, and I was feeling a little uncomfortable. So here he comes around the shed row, and I hop on him. He's so cool. He just – my nerves just calmed, and usually it's the other way around. For me, I calmed them. He calmed me. Next, you know, we went out there and everything was perfect, and that was just a one little moment. I guess so many stories I could share, but yeah, that was a neat time.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And Michael, you told me Bob will make sure he comes out to see Silver Charm whenever he gets a chance when he's in town.
Yeah, he comes a lot. Sometimes he brings Jill and Bodie, and one day I was just up in the kitchen. I look out the window, and he's just wandering around the backyard by himself, eating Silver Charm some carrots and going to see Warrenbaum and Dan the Bluegrass Man. And now we have another horse viz that they fixed up named Jimbo Fallon, who's a really cool horse, and, of course, Game On Dude. So he's got a lot here now. We're like his wing,
yeah.
Retirement wing. Of
Dan the Bluegrass Man is a horse that was ridden by Joe Steiner. Actually gave you your final greatest stake victory, I think, at Golden Gate, right?
I don't quite know if it was my final graded stake, because I've ridden quite a few after
yeah.
that. But it was a graded stake. I rode him two times, and he won both times. So I won a little stake race at Bay Meadows, I believe it was, and then the next one was at Golden Gate Fields, Golden Gate Derby. So, yeah, he was a really neat horse. He was actually headed for the Derby after that. Bob thought he was a really good horse, so he took me off him. And yeah, he took me off
typical.
Him. Yeah, typical. And
who did he put on?
David Flores.
Okay.
And so he ran back the next time, and the same horse that I beat in neck beat him. And so then Bob goes, "I shouldn't have taken you off." I said, "What did I say?
Hello."
Yeah. Yeah.
I had a filly, Veal Vin, made $500,000. She won a grade two. It was the best she ever did. She was a really nice filly. And Joe had been up in in Washington riding at home. He decided he got a really nice offer, and he went up there to ride and be closer to his family and stuff, which was great. So now he finishes the meet up there. He comes down, and I've got this filly, and I want to get him on the filly because we are a team. We always did well together. So the owner comes out to watch her work, and Joe breezes her, and she breezes nicely just about the time we wanted, 101 or something. And we're walking back, and the owner's alongside me. And I said, "Well, what do you think?" He goes, "Oh, she's a nice filly. She'll win for like 12.5 or something like that."
Yeah.
Right? And the owner's like, "What? This filly's won a graded stakes already, you know?" And yeah. I'm going, "Oh, Joe, you could have said anything but that." But the owner was cool, Dick Gason. He's a great guy. And he let Joe ride her, and she won the Bayakoa Stakes at Del Mar. Off of that work, so it all worked out nicely. But yeah, I mean, Joe's an exceptional rider. He was as good a jockey as there ever was, and excellent working horses in the morning. I always had the utmost confidence when he was on a horse. So you know, taking him off was a huge mistake. Huge.
Well, now he gets to spend his time here at Old Friends, surrounded by his favorite horse, Silver Charm, and Dan the Bluegrass Man, who he just told you about. Michael, you told us that there was a great story surrounding one of the other horses that is now here, and that is Breeders' Cup turf hero, Little Mike. Tell me that story.
Yeah, well, I always liked Little Mike because my name's Mike, so I used to follow him. And one day I get a call, and Michael, yes, it's Carlo. Okay. Carlo who? Carlo Vacarezza. I have Little Mike. Do you want him at All Friends? I said, yes, that would be great. I love Little Mike. Thank you, Carlo. Yeah, we'll make all the arrangements, whatever you want. Just call me back. I don't hear from him again for 2 years. 2 years go by. I'm actually at the simulcast, and I look in the forum, and Little Mike's back after a two-year layoff. And he's in an allowance race, and he goes off prohibitive favor, like 2-5 or 3-5. And it was even in the distance, it wasn't good for him. But anyway, he ran for half the race and then quit. And literally within 20 minutes, I get my phone rings. Michael, it's Carlo. It's like we talk every day. Oh, yeah, Carlo, how are you? Long time no hear from. So Carlo says, you want him? You want Little Mike now? Yeah. Yeah, I'd love to have him. So 2 weeks later, on a Friday evening, I get a call from the ship from Sally Vans. Does all his shipping for free, by the way. And Sally Vans called me, and they said, we got your horse here. We'll bring him over in the morning about 8 o'clock. Is that okay? I said, yeah, sure. That'll be great. So I get up around 7, and I'm putzing around the barn, doing this, that, and the other. And there's this strange person in there I've never seen before in the barn. I'm going, excuse me, sir, can I help you? He says, yeah, my name's Carlo, and I've come to get Little Mike off the van and put him in his stall. He flew all the way from Florida.
That's great.
Just to get him off, walk him 20 yards from the van into the barn, you know, patted him, gave him a mint, and shook my hand and said, thank you very much, and left. And then last year at Saratoga, I ran into Little Nick.
Yeah.
Nick Vacarezza, who's in the horse business now. And he asked me about Little Mike, and I was telling him how well he settled in and what a beautiful horse he is and what a great disposition he has and what a, you know, he's just an amazing, amazing animal. And he said, oh, that's really good. He said, but I have a question for you. He goes, did my father cry when he left the horse? I said, as a matter of fact, he did. You know, he said, I've never seen him cry. And that was it. So that was Carlo and
what a great story.
Little Mike. Yeah.
Yeah, what a great story. If you don't think that people in this sport care about the horses,
it's unbelievable.
Well, there you go. It shows you right there that they certainly do. Michael, less than 2 minutes here before we have to get to a commercial break and get ready to wrap up the first half of the show, dive into hour two. But I do want to mention a couple of things coming up pertaining to Old Friends. On September 7th, you're going to celebrate Old Friends Day at Kentucky Downs. And then on September 10th, Fasig Tipton helping out with an auction right here in Lexington at Fasig Tipton the day before the Turf Showcase sale.
Yeah, it's really great. Well, first of all, Corey Johnson down at Kentucky Downs has been great to us. He's on our board of directors now. Thank goodness we have somebody on the board of directors that we have that's as smart as he is, because he's been very, very helpful. We have about a dozen horses down there now retired at Kentucky Downs, and we have Old Friends Day at Kentucky Downs. It includes a $150,000 stakes race, the Old Friends Stakes. It's a win-and-you're-in race, so whoever wins can eventually come to Old Friends whenever they retire.
That's great.
No questions asked. So that's really going to be great. And if you're down in the area, or even if you're not, you should drive down there. And if you've never been to Kentucky Downs, it's really, really a treat. No admission. You can bring your own beer. You bring your lawn chairs. It's like a country fair. It's really, really a lot of fun. And the racing has been unbelievable. Yeah,
Fasig Tipton.
Then we have the Fasig Tipton auction. Thanks to Boyd Browning and everybody at Fasig Tipton, they're going to the evening of their turf showcase, where they're going to auction off the turf horses. An hour before that, we're going to have an auction for Old Friends, and they're providing their staff to do the auction. It's really going to be cool. One of the things we're going to auction off is one of Dagmar's paintings. We have a vintage Chevrolet. A truck, Old Friend's red truck from 1984 or 1985 that we're auctioning off. We're auctioning off a win and you're in so that somebody can retire a horse to Old Friend's. Chris McCarron's donated a trip to the Kentucky Derby with him for four people, which is really, really going to be amazing. So, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And Fasig Tipton is no cost to Old Friend's, so whatever we raise in that auction will go directly to the horses.
Too cool. And you can visit oldfriendsequine.org to learn more about all of these things coming up, and of course to get a look at all the horses, and then come visit them here in Kentucky and up in New York as well. Michael, we're going to hopefully grab you for a couple more minutes at the end of the show here today if you're still around, but for now, thank you for being here, my friend.
Thanks, oh, great, Mike.
Us.
Thanks for
Joe,
inviting
appreciate
me.
It, buddy.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, thank you very much. All right, we do have to get to that final break here in hour number one. We'll come back, get you set for a busy second half of the show. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Castleton Lions, home to multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti and blue-blooded sprinter Justin Phillip, who was recently represented by his first stakes winner at Belmont Park.
Down to the line, what a catch takes the Rockville Center over Morning Breeze.
That game stakes victory by What a Catch comes on the heels of Justin Phillips' daughter, Upset Brewing, putting in a strong runner-up finish in the $100,000 debutante at Churchill Downs. And while Justin Phillips continues his fast start, seven-time Grade 1 winner Gio Ponti continues to prove his offspring can run on any surface at any distance.
And Sir Dudley Diggs from Amis Gizmo. Sir Dudley Diggs has won the Queen's Plate.
Drake Fong pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish, but Drake Fong's the leader. Drake Fong has won.
Gio Ponti and Justin Phillips standing at Castleton Lions. Visit CastletonLions.com.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's, world's greatest gourmet sandwich shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan.
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you got to be more than fast.
More than fast.
You got to be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Avalapadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Arguably North America's hottest first crop weanling sire in 2016, Airdrie Studs Cairo Prince is set to once again ignite the marketplace with his first crop yearlings this sale season. A brilliantly talented son of leading sire Pioneer of the Nile, Cairo Prince is passing on the extraordinary good looks that made him the most expensive member of his own sire's initial sales crop. And he possesses the brilliance to give his progeny every chance for major success on the racetrack. Airdrie Studs Cairo Prince, a stallion star in the making. Think about it.
Hi, it's Ian Wilkes here, and you're listening to HRRN Radio.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Matterhorn on the outside, hard ridden in fourth. At the rail, Albano. Matru is last, and Valid means business today as he turns for home. Braidster fully extended, trying to get to him, but Valid opens up a length with an eighth of a mile to run. Braidster is in second. Matterhorn on the outside third. Then Albano coming back for more. A 16th to run, and it is Valid in a stellar performance. He's just cruising through the stretch, and Valid wins the Island. Braidster was second. Matterhorn third, Albano finished fourth.
Frank Miramati with the call of the Philip H. Island Stakes, that grade three at Monmouth back in 2015. Valid getting the victory under jockey Nick Juarez that afternoon. Nick is going to join us in just a couple of minutes coming up at 9 o'clock Eastern. Stay with us. Great, great story surrounding his millionaire Valid, who he basically rescued recently and brought him back home after he had been racing in low-level races out in Colorado. So stay, you won't want to miss that story. Stay with us for that. Also, Anthony Stabile, the Big A, who will anchor our coverage of the Woodward this afternoon at 6 Eastern, will join us later in the second half of the program, too, to talk to you about all the big races coming up at Saratoga later today. Hey, don't forget that Irish Territory, well, remember him, he continued that hot run for Declaration of War's first crop when running a very promising second in the Grade 3 with anticipation at Saratoga this past Wednesday. Declaration of War's first crop, which are two-year-olds this year, also includes Actress, a Grade 3 winner and Grade 1 placed against colts in Ireland, and Irene, a stakes winner in England. Declaration of War's first crop was conceived in Ireland before he relocated to America, so his first U.S. bred crop will be well represented at the upcoming yearling sales. He has 13 cataloged in the Fasig Tipton Turf Showcase on September 11th and a further 65 horses cataloged at Keeneland September. So look for those Declaration of War horses. And, of course, you can always visit coolmore.com to learn more. Jude, really looking forward to talking with Nick Juarez. He's going to be with us here momentarily, and a really cool story. As I mentioned, Big A, Anthony Stabile, going to join us in the second half of the show as well. So a lot of things still ahead. Stay with us. We're live from Old Friends, and this is the Horse Racing Radio Network. We'll pause 10 seconds for station identification right here on HRRN, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Here's Cloud Computing going for the upset. Classic Empire digs in. Cloud Computing throws alongside. They come to the finish together. Noses apart. Cloud Computing has defeated Classic Empire and the Preakness.
Heart to heart at the 16th pole, a length from Bala Bali. Free Rose. Farhan late on the scene. Bala Bali gathers in heart to heart. Farhan charging, but Bala Bali wins the shoemaker.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum.
Taprit has taken the lead. Taprit and Irish Warcry come down to the line together. It is Taprit and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Arrogate just not in the mood today. Arrogate will finish far, far back. And it's Accelerate and Victor Espinosa clear by 8-9 lengths here. Accelerate romps home in the San Diego.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum on a very busy Saturday morning. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, that's Baron and Pontiff. We are with you. Our producer, Lee Delapina, is back in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios as we are on location again this Saturday morning, coming to you from Old Friends here in Lexington. And so many outstanding horses now residing here at Old Friends. They've given us so many memories on the racetrack, and now you can come enjoy them anytime that you're in the bluegrass. Feed them some carrots, give them a little pat on the nose, whatever you want to do. Just say hello to those old friends like Game On Dude and Silver Charm and Little Mike and some of the big horses we've talked about over the course of the past hour.
Yeah, it's just a fun way to spend the day. You can hang out and talk to them and, you know, discuss the great races that you enjoyed seeing them win and tickets that you've cashed, and they appreciate it.
Yeah, walk in, say hello to Barbara, who is right at the reception desk as you come in on your right, and then step in and say hello to Michael Blowen, too, and then go out and visit all those great horses who are here. Jude, speaking of outstanding horses, we're going to visit in just a second here with jockey Nick Juarez, because he is the guy who was aboard Valid, who is a horse you and I really, really liked. He won more than $1 million on the racetrack. He is now residing with Nick on his farm. We'll talk to him about that, but we want to remind people that if they missed any portion of the first half of the show in our visit with Michael Blowen and jockey Joe Steiner, you can head on over to horseracingradio.net and get a podcast of this show that you can listen to at your leisure. It's right there, horseracingradio.net. So go ahead and check that out. All right, well, Nick Juarez had the privilege of being aboard Valid. And you heard that call of the Island in 2015. He was aboard him that day and aboard him for so many memorable moments. And now he's back home with his big horse. And Nick is with us now here on the Equine Forum. Nick, welcome, my friend.
Hi, guys. How you doing? Good morning.
Yeah, things are good. And congratulations on Valid. Tell us the story. I think it's so cool.
Well, you know, if you heard the replay back in 2015, that was the first time I actually rode Valid. Was in the Island in the Grade Three, and that was also my first stakes win. But anyways, you know, we went on as my first year going to Gulfstream Park, my championship meet, and you know, he was kind of like a pretty influential horse in my career at that time, just because, you know, I just lost my bug, and you know, just mentally as a rider, I mean, you start going through, I mean, you go through, you know, ups and downs and more downs than up, but anyways, I was going through some tough times when I was transitioning from a bug into a journeyman, and you know, Valid really, I think he helped me through it, and you know, he was just a great horse to ride. And when last time I rode him was the Grade 3 Skipaway in Gulfstream, and we won that. And then he took some time off, and I was told that he entered the sale this year in Keeneland. And when I heard he entered the sale, you know, I was, you know, seeking out. I mean, I wanted to get him then. And then I was told that he was sold for $16,000 to a man named Tom Thurman, and he was under the now training with Stacy Rushton. And he went to Nebraska, went to Colorado, and then and I was trying to get in contact between, you know, the trainer, but, you know, it was actually Tom Thurman, and I got to give him kudos because he was the one to reach out to me, and he would just let me know. He said, you know, Nick, the horse is doing well, he's working well, and, you know, he's happy, and I never really pressured him to sell him to me. I just said, look, whenever he's done running, give me a call. And, you know, Tom and I kept in contact for a couple months. And then about like 2 weeks ago, I get a phone call. And Tom says, hey, he's done running. Whenever you can get a van out of here to get him, you know, come pick him up. And so we, with the help of Kelly Breen, which is a trainer out here in New Jersey, you know, he really helped orchestrate everything to get the van and all that stuff from – because I had no idea. I mean, I just ride races. So I had no idea to get a horse from Colorado all the way out here to Maryland. But anyways, you know, throughout all that, we were able to get him over here. And, you know, now he's just back home in Maryland. And, you know, just it's just happy to know that I can have a peace of mind. And, you know, he's just happy being out there in the field and just being a horse, you know.
You know, Nick, I lived in New Jersey for a couple of years when you had your bug, and you did such a great job as a bug rider, and you developed rather quickly into a journeyman. You never lost much business or anything, and now you're a rising star in our sport. But it's so unusual for a jockey to, you know, buy a horse and put it on their farm. It's one of the most amazing stories we've heard in a while that you know you're doing this, and I think it's a great example for a lot of people that the horses do matter to those of us who participate in the sport.
Absolutely. I mean, I know it's a business, and this is my job, you know, and we go out to work every day like anybody else does going to an office job, but we're dealing with, you know, animals and human beings that, I mean, we're risking our lives, and, you know, I know that we have, like, PDJF and stuff like that, so we show gratitude towards, you know, the camaraderie as jockeys because we know the dangers of the sport. We know the dangers of the sport, but it's also, you know, we're dealing with horses as well, and, you know, they're risking their lives, and, you know, you got to give back to them, and they deserve a lot of credit for what they do on and off the track.
Talking with jockey Nick Juarez here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And so often, Nick, you mentioned winning the Grade 3 Skipaway. So often with these outstanding horses, they go through an auction like this because people may not realize Valid is a gelding, so he doesn't have any value as a stallion. They go through an auction. They end up in somebody else's care. And here you go, how the mighty have fallen. After he wins the Skipaway in 2016 with you, he runs ninth in the Dowd Mile Stakes at Fauner Park, second in an allowance race at Arapahoe, fifth in the Front Range Stakes at Arapahoe. So not the same horse, but kudos to owner Tom Thurman for realizing that, hey, the horse is done. I remember that Nick Juarez wanted this horse, and for picking up the phone and calling you. That doesn't happen every day, and that's great to see.
Absolutely not. I mean, like I said, I mean, I wrote a letter yesterday, and I mailed it out to him just to be able to say, you know, you're a great man. I never met you, but I mean, it seems like you have a lot of character, and, you know, to do something like that, you know, speaks volumes.
Nick, what does the future hold for Valid now? Is he just going to enjoy some R&R and hang out on the farm with you for a while?
Yeah, I mean, right now, I mean, I was just trying to see how he's adjusting to farm life, and I went to go see him the other day, and, you know, he's out there eating some grass, but he looks like he's kind of getting a little bored. So, I mean, my plan is, you know, when I'm going to have some downtime as well, but throw some tag on them and, you know, go out trail riding or, you know, maybe if somebody's looking for a stable pony, you know, we'll figure something out down the road. But, you know, he's always been, if I know anything about him, he's always loved his job and he's always loved doing something. So I can't see him just being able to be in a field for the next 20 years. You know, I think he'd want to be able to do something. And, you know, one day down the road, I mean, it'd be pretty cool, too, to be able to throw my kids on the back of them and be, you know, I was like, stake on and, you know, really gave me a big push in my career. And I think that'd be something pretty memorable.
Yeah, he was such a sensational horse. I loved him. Mike loved him, too. I mean, every time he was in, he was so game. He tried so hard, and he had such great speed. I mean, what a tremendous animal he was.
With him underneath you, he was a pretty powerful guy.
Nick Juarez here on HRN. Nick, do want to ask you before we let you go about your new relationship with super agent Ron Anderson. You're in pretty good hands there, my friend.
Absolutely. I mean, what a humbling gesture, you know, to go with him. You know, I mean, he's had the greatest. And Ron's a super guy. He has a lot of class. You know, I'm on my way up to Saratoga currently. Going to see him when I get up there. But, you know, he has a tremendous amount of class. You know, he's been around for a long time. And to be able to be represented by him, you know, going forward into the Belmont meet and also in Gulfstream, it's very humbling, very, very humbling.
Well, Nick Juarez off to a fast start. He's won 445 races already. He is a multiple graded stakes winning rider and now looking to take things to the next level with Ron Anderson. And Nick, can't thank you enough for being with us and sharing your story. All the best moving forward, and every time you get a leg up, safe trip.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Have a great day.
All right, Nick Juarez here on HRN. Good stuff, huh?
Yeah.
You talk about a feel-good story.
It's really cool. You know, these horses, a lot of times, you know, they get lost in the shuffle. And that's one of the nice things about Michael House, the guy that I trained for many years, and now he's, you know, super successful with graded stakes horses. And you know, we've been looking for some of our old horses. We picked up one that we bred, New Yorker, and brought him to the farm, and he's you know, living a great life. And another horse, Dry Summer, who was running for $5,000 after winning stakes for Mr. House years ago. So they're paddock mates now, and they hang out, and they have the nicest life, and they'll be taken care of, you know, for the rest of their lives. So I think more and more people are coming on board with this idea, not just the stakes horses and the great stallions that are here at Old Friends, but horses that mean something personally to a lot of people in our business, and it's a great trend.
Yeah, it is a great trend, and good to see. And, you know, again, I mentioned that during the interview, but Tom Thurman, the owner of Valid, who purchased him out of that Keeneland sale, well done, Tom, because so often owners don't take that next step and they don't remember to reach out to people that can help. He did, so kudos to him.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, there's a lot of people like Tom that do care about their horses.
Yep.
and want them to have a nice life after they're done running. It was something that we used to do a long time ago. Joey will remember a horse that I had named Plenty Conscious, who was a really fast horse. And when he was through racing, through a friend of mine, we found a park ranger at Yosemite that needed a horse. And he went up to Yosemite, spent the rest of his life riding around Yosemite with this park ranger taking care of him, had the best life ever. And he was a track record setter at Hollywood Park, and just an amazing story for him. And there's more and more of these stories happening nowadays, and it's great.
All right, well, I mentioned the big day up at Saratoga. That's the Woodward, the Spinaway, and a host of other graded stakes. We're going to talk to the Big A, Anthony Stabile, about those races when we come back, and we'll tell you about that controversy involving Ron Paolucci's entrant, who was denied entry into the Woodward. Did the stewards go too far this time? We'll find out. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Penna here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
How do I see New York breds perform? Here's New York sire Disco Partner setting a new world record in the Jaipur.
Holy mackerel!
And they perform like multiple Grade 1 winner Mind Your Biscuits.
And he's pouring it on late!
Winning the Belmont Sprint Championship. And New York breds perform in the sales ring, where this filly sold for $750,000. Look for your registered New York performer at upcoming auctions.
Bakari Bloodstock is consistently among the top consigners at major sales. Their recent success includes Grade 2 Gulfstream Park Oaks winner Salty and a $1.2 million session topper at last year's Keeneland September sale. This year's Keeneland Book 1 standouts include the half-brother to Salty by Candy Ride, the half-brother to multiple Grade 1 winner Honor Code by Tappet, a colt by Medaglia d'Oro out of the multiple graded stakes producing mare Broadway Gold, and a beautiful Tappet filly out of the Stormcat mare Wildcat. Stop by the Bakari Bloodstock consignment in Barn 3 at the Keeneland September sale.
Want to enjoy an exciting night of horse racing overlooking beautiful downtown Lexington? Watch as Kentucky's top standardbreds compete in the Kentucky Sire Stakes held at the historic Red Mile. The Kentucky Sire Stakes is a month-long culmination of Kentucky's leading 2- and 3-year-olds competing at the Red Mile to be crowned Kentucky's best trotter and pacer. Sponsored by the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission, the Kentucky Sire Stakes Finals, Sunday, September 17th, First Post, 7 p.m. For more information, visit www.khrc.ky.gov.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
And Wondergado's got a little bit more than the others. In fact, Wondergado's drawing off in the Natalma prep.
Wonder Godot, the 2-year-old daughter of Darley stallion Medaglia d'Oro, dominated her competition, winning by 4 lengths while breaking her maiden against Allowance Company at Woodbine this past week. Her dam has a yearling by Hardspun and is now in foal to Nyquist, and that impressive maiden victory against winners makes her a TDN rising star and your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Medaglia d'Oro sired one of the greats in Rachel Alexandra, who was Horse of the Year at 3 and the best 3-year-old filly since the 1970s. Medaglia d'Oro is currently the leading sire in North America by 2017 Grade 1 winners with 4, and also the leading sire by yearling average this year at $756,000. To learn more about Medaglia d'Oro and all the Darley Stallions, visit DarleyAmerica.com.
Hi, this is Chris McCarron, and you're listening to the best horse racing show on the radio on Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
A dramatic stretch drive awaits in the Woodward Stakes. On the outside, here's Bulls Bay and Calvin Morrell imploring his filly for more. And Rachel Alexandra holds on to the lead. Bulls Bay is second. Macho again is making a tremendous run for the back of the pack. Rachel Alexandra, Macho again. They're coming down to the finish. It's going to be desperately close. Here's the wire. Rachel won. She is indeed Rachel Alexandra, the great.
Wow, if you don't get chills listening to that call from Tom Durkin, I don't know. Boy, what a moment that was. The 2009 Woodward, Rachel Alexandra beating the boys that afternoon. She is indeed Rachel Alexandra the Great, as Tom Durkin said. And I can remember exactly where we were when that happened. Of course, we had the privilege of broadcasting that race. And Jude, I can still remember the ground almost shaking at Saratoga. And Tom said, raises the rafters. And that couldn't have been more apropos because it was 100% spot on.
Yeah, and that grandstand's kind of old, so that's a dangerous thing to do.
it was wild that day, wasn't it?
It was. It was a crazy crowd. And
she was so game.
Yeah, people were at a fever pitch that day.
Oh, so, so good. Well, the Big A, Anthony Stabile, is with us now from New York. Of course, he'll have that coverage of this year's Woodward and Gunrunner going to the post beginning 6 o'clock Eastern time. You can listen worldwide on your computer, smartphone, or mobile device at horseracingradio.net. Anthony, that moment in 2009 was certainly special, and Rachel was a special filly. And this past week, we said farewell to another champion, and that was Songbird, your favorite filly of all time. And you had the chance to go see her at Saratoga before she left and before she was officially retired. Pretty special filly.
Yeah, it was amazing. Rams, guys, and you probably never seen a fat guy run that fast. And I was told that I can get out there to the barn on Sunday and go see her. Yeah, you know, great career. Couple of daughters of a dad. Well, he's not a bad sire on that medallion daughter. He's had a couple of really nice fillies in the last 10 years, namely Rachel and Songbird. And, yeah, she'll be missed on the racetrack and going to get sold with that Fraser Tipton sale in September, which I think was another, was a little bit of a 1-2 surprise punch yesterday. But I guess Mr. Porter is starting to wrap up the racing operation and things associated with the sport. So makes a lot of sense. And she'll bring a pretty penny.
Yeah, selling in November, right? The November sale. Right after Breeders' Cup. Yeah.
Right after the November sale.
Yeah, Songbird, so brilliant on the racetrack. And another horse that's been pretty brilliant too, Big A, is Gunrunner. And you'll have the privilege of covering him along with analyst Mike Beer later this afternoon. Tell me about this year's Woodward.
Yeah, really looking forward to the racing later on today as we wrap up another fantastic meet, another bunch of Saturdays at Saratoga here at the Old Spa. Look, he's been good as gold this year, save the one loss to Arrogate over in Dubai. Mile and an eighth is his game, guys. He's going to take a lot of beating here, but it's funny. Todd Fletcher going to take a couple of runs at him with Neolithic and Rally Cry. And, of course, some controversy this week. Ron Pellucci of Luch Racing tried entering a rabbit for his war story. Ron actually called in Thursday night to the call-in show and let us know that there were going to be no free rides on the lead later on today. That war story, Rod Ortiz Jr. is being told to go. And it changes the complexion of this race a lot. And Gunrunner, who, you know, likes to set up camp on the front end, it certainly looks like there'll be, as Ron said, no free rides on the front end. Now, I don't know about going to 23 third quarter if that's really a free ride. But there's going to be a hot pace in this race later on today. And war story is going to be the one pushing the issue. So it sounds like Gunrunner, and Ron's not really a guy that blows smoke. If he says he's sending War Story, I would think that's the case. And War Story's had a history of being okay on the front end. He won a minor stakes at the end of last year on the front end. So I think we're having some fireworks today in the Woodward.
Well, do you think how far do you think War Story would go head and head with Gunrunner before he folds like a cheap Chinese suitcase?
You know, at a mile and an eighth, you probably have a good point. Gunrunner, this is Gunrunner's trip. And this race obviously goes through Gunrunner. I can't see him being more than 1-2 on the board. Well, you know, War Story has a mile and a half win. So, you know, he's got plenty of bottom. He's run five times this year. He got a race over the track in the Whitney. I wouldn't be too surprised if he hangs with him. At the very least, it's going to give Gunrunner A, something to think about, and B, maybe soften him up for one of the two Todd Fletcher horses today. You know, if Gerardo Ortiz Jr. listens to his instructions, I think this is going to be an interesting running of the Woodward today. I think this went from being a very easy single, and you pick four and you pick fives, and Gunrunner, another waltz in the park, to becoming a little bit of an interesting race.
Well, post time for that Grade 1 Woodward, presented by Naira Betts, by the way, is set for after 6 o'clock. So our coverage beginning 6 Eastern, the post time 6:46 Eastern time. That's when they'll run that Woodward. It will be preceded, Anthony, by the Grade 1 Spinway and the 2-year-old Phillies. Now, that's a win and you're in for the Juvenile Phillies Division. Not a big field going 7/8 of a mile, but a really, really good-looking group of fillies.
Yeah, and for you politicos out there, you'll have a chance to bet Separation of Powers or Lady Ivanka. So you guys have something else to fight over. Look, Pure Silver, guys, New York bred, daughter of Mission Impossible, she's been sensational. And I know, you know, we use the term dressed up a little bit. She won the 2 races against the New York Reds, and that Adirondack that she won last time out didn't really draw a very competitive field. But I'll say this. She had a little bit of an issue leaving out of there. She's really inside for the second straight time. That was a little different. She had a field of 8 to deal with last time as opposed to just 3 others in the Lynbrook, the State Bred Stakes race she won. But, man, she powered him.
Did he just swallow the phone?
I think he might have.
He may have very well swallowed that phone. The Big A, Anthony Stabile, with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Anthony, you got your phone squared away?
I'm here. I never left.
All right. We lost you there for a minute.
Oh, that's weird. Sorry, guys. About Pure Silver, perfect 3 for 3, plenty of speed, tossed ahead last time. I mean, maybe one of the horses that won the debut steps up. I mean, Separation of Powers was sensational in her first race, and I figure I wouldn't be surprised if she's the favorite over a filly that, and that's hard for me to swallow a little bit. Filly breaks a maiden, and she's going to be favorite over a filly that has won 3 times already. And maybe if they hook up, maybe it is Lady Ivanka who picks up the pieces. She was dismissed at 7.5 to 1 on her debut, an Oklahoma bred, of all things. And for Rudy Rodriguez and Mike Dubb and his partnership of owners. Maybe she comes running later. Again, you know, these two races, they're 5-horse fields, and you've heard a lot about, oh, they're short fields. But they're interesting races for the simple fact that you got War Story allegedly going to press the pace in the Woodward. You got these 3 fillies who, I mean, yeah, there's some speed. Lady Ivanka comes off the pace. I don't think these races are as clear-cut as they look to be on paper.
Well,
we're going to find out.
We'll see.
Yeah, we're going to find out. It's going to be a great day of racing in Saratoga, and it's not just about those races. You also have, what, the Saranac up there and the Glens Falls, right?
The Saranac is probably the race I'm looking most forward to today because Bricks and Mortar from Chad Brown with Joel Rosario is a perfect 4 for 4. He won the Manila and the Grade 2 Hall of Fame in his last 2 starts. And this is the kind of horse, I'm a little surprised, far be it for me to question Chad Brown. I'm a little surprised, though, that he's continuing on the path of stretching this horse out. 1/16 in his debut, a couple of mile races, another 1/16 race, and then 1/8 race today. I'm going to tell you why, and I know a lot of people think I'm crazy when I say this. I think this horse, even though he's a 3-year-old, is a Breeders' Cup mile kind of horse. I really do. I think he's that talented. And maybe Chad's not going to run him as a 3-year-old in those races, and he's going to let him mature into a 4-year-old. But I'm a little surprised he stretched him to the 1/8 because he's so potent at those middle-distance races. I'm not saying he's not going to be as potent. Maybe he'll be better on the stretch out with his off-the-pace move. That wouldn't surprise me. But I don't know. I was a little selfish. I was kind of hoping he was going to cut him back and run him in the mile race at some point, maybe point for a race like the Breeders' Cup Mile, because I think he's that talented. So, needless to say, I think he's got this Saranac group over a bunch of. There's a neat horse in here, guys. The 5 Voodoo Song is going to be looking for his 4th win at the meet. And in the time and age where you might see a horse run once at the meet, Voodoo Song's not only running 4 times, but he's going to be looking for his 4th consecutive victory. Started out in an open $40,000 claimer, now winds up in this Grade 3 event. So that would be a neat little story in the Saranac.
Yeah, how about this story with Voodoo Song? He won his first race at Saratoga this meet on July 22nd, came back, you'll love this, Pontiff, 4 days later, July 26th, and wins a state bred allowance. Then he was given a bit of a layoff, came back on August 23rd, almost a month later, wins his third race at the meet. Pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, fantastic. And it just goes to show that horses can run back in succession.
All right, well, that's the race preceding the Spinaway, which precedes the Woodward. The Woodward is followed as race 12, the Nightcap, by the Grade 3 Glens Falls, which is a mile and three-eighths on the inner turf, Big A.
Yeah, Sherman Gahee ran a horse named War Flag, first time in this country, off of an 11-month layoff down at Monmouth Park. Philly's run twice at Monmouth. And you guys, I think we all can agree, Sherman Gahee, one of the best to ever do it, ever play his trade. And a little bit of a conservative guy. He ran her against the Colts, first time in this country off 11 months, and she won. Came back in the Grade 3 matchmaker. She came on the outside. She was running down the lane. Now she's going to stretch out. She went a mile and a quarter over in France. She's going to have to handle a mile and three-eighths today, but I certainly think she can do it. I think she has to beat Estrachada, who won the Weya earlier in the meet, going a mile and a half. She's actually cutting back off that win. And Harmonize, who's a Grade 1 winner. She won the Grade 1 Del Mar Oaks last year out where the turf meets the surf. The problem with Harmonize is she's lost some of her consistency. In fact, she hasn't won since that Del Mar Oaks and hasn't finished in the trifecta in any of her four starts this year. Now, she's run against the likes of Lady Eli, Antono, and Roncarolo, but and she's going to stretch out in here to a mile and three-eighths. But, you know, tough for me to really like a horse that hasn't hit the board in four starts this year over a filly like War Flag, who shook ran against the boys and just got beaten the matchmaker and looks like she wants to run all day. So War Flag for me, maybe a little Harmonized, maybe a little Estrachada, but I think the lean for me is going to be with War Flag.
All right, well, all of our coverage coming up this afternoon, 6 Eastern here on the network. Again, you can join Anthony and Mike Beer from the Daily Racing Form as they bring you Saturdays at Saratoga, presented by visitbarbados.org and 6 Eastern horseracingradio.net. Anthony, I want to go back very quickly before we get to our Right or Wrong segment, which is presented by Sunrise Stallions. I want to go back to something you mentioned earlier when talking about the Woodward and the Ron Paolucci situation with maybe denied entry into the Woodward after he informed stewards he was going to enter that horse as a rabbit for War Story. The stewards well within their rights to say, no, you can't enter this horse. But my question to you is, did they go too far this time? Your thoughts?
Yes, I think they absolutely went too far. This is a tradition in racing that has been around for literally centuries. Frankel over in Europe, widely considered the best grass horse of all time, he never left the yard without his three-quarter brother Bullet Train. So I don't understand what the problem is. We've seen him here in America, but I remember when I was a kid, Bob Condren, Joe Canaccia, who owned Strike the Gold, went out and bought Loach when Strike the Gold was older and used him. Shining Copper was doing it for Big Blue Kitten recently. Shake the Bank was Better Talk Now's rabbit. And I understand these horses probably had a little more class than maybe, but Ron alerted the stewards, let them know what his intent was. There's nothing really, it's been around for years, for centuries. I didn't find a problem with it. What bothers me more is, again, on the call-in show when Ron called in, regarding the last time when Cautious Giant was the unofficial rabbit, Ron alleged that the stewards talked to his rider and told his rider not to go Paco Lopez, not to go right, not to go left, and not to go too fast on the front end. This is a little bit of an overreach. I have a big, big problem. If all of this stuff is true, I have a very, very big problem with that.
Well, if that actually happened, that's a huge overreach, and that's definitely going too far. If Ron had not told the stewards what his intentions were with Maybe, and that he was going to enter the horse as a rabbit for War Story, would the horse have been entered? Would he have been allowed to run if he just kept his mouth shut and said, yeah, we're just going to enter the horse?
That's a great question. I don't know. I don't want to use the word witch hunt, but you seriously inquire as to the intentions last time. And maybe Ron wasn't forthright. He contends that it's a business decision. You know, people have to look at it that way. teach him to Ron, and when Ron breaks it down, Ron can. You could, if there was a sixth horse entered in this Woodward today, the connection would turn a $10,000 profit. Just entered. So the way he's looking at it is, if maybe would have went to the front end, maybe helped War Story's cause, and ran last, he would have made money for running last. That's the purse structure of the race. So,
well, wait, let me ask you this question, and Jude, you can weigh in on this as well. But if he were to run, right, I guess it comes back to trying to protect the betting public here. I guess would be the intent of the stewards here to say, hey, we're going to protect the betting public and the integrity of the race, or however they want to say it. But if the betting public were informed that, hey, this is a horse he's already informed us that this is a horse that's entered as a rabbit, well, then they have the decision to make. Do they want to bet on the horse or not bet on the horse, right? Then
100%.
It's up to the bettor to decide, right?
100%.
Yeah,
yes.
I think in this case, it's more about the quality of the entrant. When you have a group race, a graded race, you know, Anthony made reference to the horses in Europe and that. You know, they're running Bullet Train is a grade three winner, you know, running in a grade one race with Frankel. You know, it's a little bit different than running a horse from a selling stake or something like that. I mean,
Rick's Natural Star comes to mind.
Yeah, a lot
Remember
of times,
him?
You know, people do crazy things, and we saw what happened the last time with the so-called rabbit. He you know, and I don't want to hear about jockey instructions and all that stuff. I mean, that's just ridiculous. It's the horse is no good.
The
horse is absolutely no good. He can't be – well, he can't be a rabbit. He can't be a rabbit because he's not good enough. He can't – this is my point with sending War Story again. Now there's no rabbit, so you're going to send War Story, who you were trying to get a rabbit in to set up the race. It's all cuckoo talk if you ask me. It doesn't make any sense at all.
Well, I have a big list. If the speed doesn't matter, if you're using a horse as a rabbit, I don't think that's –
I think we're having trouble with Anthony's connection up there again. Big A, not really hearing you all that well. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't think if you're using a horse as a rabbit, I don't think the class should matter. You're stating your case. You're making your intentions completely known. He's in there to try to help War Story win the race. I had no problem with it. I certainly don't like the way it was. I think the stewards here in New York gasped both times here. I think they should have coupled Cautious Giant, and I think they should have let this horse run today.
All right, well, there you go. That course may be not entered into the race. War Story is he will tackle Gun Runner later today in the Grade 1 Woodward. And Big A, maybe that should have been our right or wrong discussion because that seemed pretty good. But let's dive into that segment now. It's right or wrong, and it is presented by Sunrise Stallions.
Yeah, right or wrong. Am I right? What do you think? Right or wrong?
All right, well, here you go. Two topics. And the first one, Gunrunner, who is the likely prohibitive favorite in the Woodward. I don't think there's any doubt about that. He's the number one horse on the NTRA poll. Big A, he is truly better than Arrowgate. Is that right or wrong?
No, that is completely wrong. He is not better than Arrowgate. He is certainly not better than Arrowgate going a mile and a quarter. I am one of these people that I'm always looking down the road. I hope Gunrunner wins for fun today. I really, no offense, Luch. I hope Gunrunner wins for fun today and establishes himself the number one. And some of these winter books that are making him the favorite over Arrogate in the Breeders' Cup. Hey, look, maybe Arrogate doesn't win either, but I know one thing. I know two things. Gunrunner, A, is not a better horse than Arrogate, and B, will not beat Arrogate going a mile and a quarter in the Breeders' Cup Classic. So I think it's wrong.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to agree with you on this because of the fact that head-to-head, it's Arrowgate 2, Gunrunner 0, right? So until you beat, and it's like Florence Roux told us, until you beat the champ, you can't be better than that horse. So he's got to get past Arrowgate when it counts on a Saturday afternoon. Is he in better form than Arrowgate right now? Yeah, you'd have to say so. He's dominating these races in Saratoga. He's in the best form of his life. Gunrunner's very, very good. Is he better than Arrowgate? I agree with you. I think that's wrong.
Am I right? What do you think? Right or wrong?
All right, number two. Around this time every year, we start to hear the rumor that Saratoga is going to their meet to 8 or 9 weeks. Big A, that would be a good thing, right or wrong?
No, that is absolutely wrong. 6.5 weeks is plenty. 40 days of racing is plenty. You cannot ask people to leave their homes for two and a half months. Both the people who rent to us up here, as well as the workers and everything coming from downstate. Now, it's probably a little too long at 6.5 weeks. Making it longer would be a nightmare. There's such a thing as too much of a good thing. That would be the perfect example.
Yeah, we may have already touched on too much of a good thing at Saratoga. You know, looking back on the meet, you see a lot of smaller fields. I mean, they're running 12 and 13 races a day. It just doesn't make sense to me. I think there's too much Saratoga already, and I think expanding it would be a huge, huge mistake. So I have to agree with you on this one, too. You know, less is more when you have a Saratoga, a Keeneland, a Del Mar. Those are unique. They're boutique meets. Less is more. If you expand it, it just continues to water down the product, and it's not good for anybody, especially racing and for the racing fans and for the bettors that are wagering on those races.
Yeah, right or wrong? Am I right? What do you think? Right or wrong?
All right, Big A, we're going to look forward to catching up with you this afternoon. Listeners can tune in one more time, 6 Eastern, horseracingradio.net. The Woodward, the Spinaway, should be a lot of fun up there at the Spa.
Yeah, looking forward to wrapping up these Saturdays at Saratoga. Make sure you tune in later on. A couple of 5-horse fields, but they should be a couple of interesting and solid races.
Yeah, really good stuff. Appreciate it, Big A. We'll talk to you soon.
You got it, guys.
All right, we're going to get to another break. When we come back, we'll hear from Michael Blowen one more time before we wrap things up. We're at Old Friends here in Kentucky. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Think smart. Ask yourself, what can Sunrise Stallions do for you? Big Brown was the third leading sire in New York in 2016 and currently sits in the same spot in 2017. Last year, Frost Giant had 4 juveniles sell for $100,000 or more and was recently represented by his first 2-year-old winner of 2017. Together, Big Brown and Frost Giant's runners have earned over $2 million in the first half of this year. The answer is simple. Sunrise Stallions puts you in the winner's circle.
Grade 1 winner DataLink by world-renowned sire Warfront. DataLink scored in the prestigious Grade 1 Makers 46 mile at Keeneland, then set a new course record in the Grade 2 Monmouth Stakes. With a pedigree free of Mr. Prospector in the first 4 generations, DataLink is the perfect outcross option. His first crop yearlings turned heads, selling well above the stud fee. DataLink at Claiborne Farm.
Millridge, raising and selling racehorses. Millridge offers a quality consignment of athletes for the Keeneland September sale by leading stallions Warfront, Pioneer of the Nile, Bernardini, Union Rags, Candy Ride, More Than Ready, Spitestown, and more. Since 2000, Millridge has raised or sold 34 Grade 1 winners, including 8 Breeders' Cup winners, with multiple Grade 1 winner Oscar Performance, the latest, and Sunset Ridge, who won her 4th straight at Saratoga in the Fleet Indian Stakes. Millridge invites you to view their Keeneland consignment in Barn 43, beginning Sunday, September 10th, and look forward to sharing these future Grade 1 winners.
Join us at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races on Saturday, September 23rd for the 9th annual Race for the Ribbon. Another stellar card in store. 7 stakes races worth over $600,000 and headlined by the Grade 3 $300,000 Charlestown Oaks. And proceeds from the evening will go towards the fight against breast cancer. The action kicks off with a special first post time of 5 p.m. Eastern. It's the Race for the Ribbon and the Grade 3 Charlestown Oaks here at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races.
Zest Fabrication is Kentucky's only true fabrication shop and portable welding business. Family owned and operated, Zest Fabrication has built a reputation of success in several industries, including farm and equine. Working with many of Kentucky's most prestigious farms, Zest Fabrication provides top quality equine equipment, including paddock gates, stall yoke, Dutch doors, and entrance gates, and will even repair your current equipment. Visit ZestFab.com to view samples and schedule your free estimate today.
Maryland is synonymous with the Hall of Fame.
Once again, Maryland boasts connections with two 2017 Hall of Fame inductees firmly rooted in the state. Trainer Tom Voss lived and trained in Maryland, while Steeplechase horse Goodnight Shirt was bred in Maryland. Maryland, we've got the horses, the horsemen, and the history, and with the current upswing in our breeding and racing, it's the place to be. Better stallions, better mares, Maryland breds. And don't forget, this year's Maryland Million Day is Saturday, October 21st.
Adina Springs Stallion, Fort Larned.
Fort Larned to catch, and they're not going to catch him.
The fastest two-turn horse of his generation, recording eight fires from 107 to 117 and nine Ragosans from 1 to 3.5.
And he's coming home, turning handsprings, Fort Larned. Brilliant in the Stephen Foster.
A winner of 10 career starts and nearly $4.5 million in purses.
It knows and knows to the wire. Fort Larned has won it.
Fort Larned won the Grade 1 Whitney Handicap in a hand ride late with a final time of 147 and 3/5 before wiring the field in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic in 2 minutes flat, earning a 117 buyer, and then taking the Grade 1 Stephen Foster by 6 1/4 lengths in 147 and 2/5. First crop two-year-olds by Fort Larned have sold for up to $170,000. Classic Mr. Prospector Speed and Free of Northern Dancer. A superior racehorse. Fort Larned, standing at Adina Springs. Visit adinastallions.com.
Hi, this is Jockey John Court. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Silver Charm to the front on the inside, Freehouse on the outside, Captain Budget. It's Captain Budget on the outside. Silver Charm at the rail. Those two to the wire. Here's the finish. Silver Charm by a neck with Gary Stevens. Captain Budget on the outside, second by five, and Freehouse was third.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Another memorable moment. Dave Johnson with the call. The Kentucky Derby, it was Silver Charm getting the victory. You can now come visit Silver Charm at Old Friends in Kentucky, which is where we have been throughout the past 2 hours. Been an enjoyable visit, and can't thank our host, Michael Blowen, enough for having us out here and letting us be part of what has become a grand tradition here in the Bluegrass. One of the places that you absolutely have to see when you come to the Lexington, Kentucky area. Michael, I love it. On your website at oldfriendsequine.org, there's a line that says, Horse Racing's Living History Museum. I don't think you could sum it up better than that.
Well, we had a guy come here, actually. He'd just come from the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton. He said, how was it? He said it was great, but I never got to see one football player. So that's kind of like where the idea came from.
You know, we touched on Silver Charm earlier in the show and talked about what he means to so many people. And there has to be other horses that are here right now. I guess Sarava comes to mind because he's sitting right out in back where we are here in the main office in that particular paddock. But there have to be other horses that have come through here that have touched you in ways that you could never imagine.
Yeah, absolutely true. Because, you know, when I was just – you know, when I just was drinking and betting, you know, it's which I still do.
Not necessarily in that order.
Exactly. You know, there were numbers, and you bet the numbers and everything. But then when you get a little closer to the horses over the years, you realize they all have such different personalities and how amazing that they are in their complexity. And anybody who underestimates their intelligence is doing themselves a major disservice. So you do develop personal relationships. It's like kids. Everybody says, well, you must like them all the same. I said, no, my parents always said, we like you and your sister the same. And they were lying every day because my sister was cute. She was smarter. She could even hammer a nail better than I could. You know, of course, my father loved her more. Anyway, but this is the same thing with the horses. And yeah, personal relationships with them are just amazing. I mean, marquetry, I used to play with them every day and we'd run around and do things. And you know, War Emblem came here and he had a reputation as being a, you know, really tough horse to be around. Bob told him that he tried to kill him twice. I mean, the horse tried to kill Bob, not the other way around. and it was premeditated. He figured out when he was going to do it, how he was going to do it.
And come on.
Yeah, really. Got him in a stall and figured out, you know, planned it. The same thing when we had Ruhlman here. It was the first big horse we ever got here. Back when he started out over at your place, Jude, remember?
Yeah.
Anyway, when we got Ruhlman here, he was the same one. He was really, really, really tough, and he would figure out when he was going to attack. And he planned it all out, and Peggy Whittingham told me that. Peggy said, yeah, he ripped out a guy's stomach once, and, you know, apparently he was really tough to deal with, and they got rough with it. This guy got really rough with him one day, and for 2 weeks, it was like Ruhlman was like a big old puppy dog, just did everything. And one day he got that guy alone in the stall and ripped his stomach out.
Wow.
And he planned it out. So I'm very careful around Warren.
As you should be.
Yeah.
How about the
but
horse?
He's really nice. I mean, now he's okay. He's very, very intelligent. He's just really, really smart. And as long as you do exactly what he wants when he wants it, there is never a problem.
How about the horse that's on your ball cap that you're wearing here? It's Gulch, who left mm-hmm. us last year. What a horse he was.
Unbelievable. Leroy Jolly came to see him a couple times. And I said, what made him special, Leroy? And he says, I think this horse is the toughest horse who ever lived. I said, you really? He goes, yeah. I said, what makes you think that? He goes, he survived me and Lucas.
Great line. Yeah.
I told that story once when Lucas's wife was on a tour, and I didn't even know who she was, and she laughed louder than anybody.
Who's the horse that, through the years, has been the most popular horse that people always wanted to see?
Well, it's Silver Charm by far. And, you know, here's a great story because, you know, when Bob Lewis did not want to sell Silver Charm to Japan, he just didn't want to do it. And every few months they'd up the ante. And Robert Clay finally said, look, he's not getting any really good mares. Send him to Japan and why don't you, you know, put away a little bit of money, make sure he come back. And that's exactly what Robert Lewis did. And so after almost 11 years in Japan, when it was time to come home, Jeff Lewis, Robert and Beverly Lewis Trust paid $70,000 to bring him home from Japan, and he has a $10,000 a year endowment. I mean, I would have given him $70,000 to get this horse. I mean, you know, it's just unbelievable. He's like Elvis here. You know, wow. People come here from all over the world just to see him. He's clearly the most popular. And then we have others that are, you know, we have a horse that we got for $20, you know, Archie Zecco, who's 27 years old. And he's really, really sweet and all of that. So for every of the big-name horses that we're most known for, we like to get another horse who just needs a spot.
Yeah, it's a special place here at Old Friends. And if you want to learn more, again, the website is oldfriendsequine.org. Stop out to see them. You can even make a donation there if you'd like to help support Old Friends, because that's how they kind of keep this place going. And the only way they can continue to bring in all these big-name horses that you're able to see and enjoy when you come here is through those donations. So go to oldfriendsequine.org to help out. And Michael, on behalf of Horse Racing Radio Network, we would like to make a donation to Old Friends as well. So we'll be donating $500 to Old Friends. And hopefully that pays for a few carrots for you.
Yeah, that's terrific. Thanks, you guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't care what they, so obviously what they say about you is not true.
There you go.
We certainly hope not.
Thanks a lot, really. It's great to have you here. Come back anytime you want. I hope you come back on a sunnier day, and we'll go around and see all the great horses here.
Yeah, it's a wonderful place. Come out and check it out next time you're in Lexington. And thanks again, Michael. Really do appreciate it.
Great, Mike. Thanks a lot. Thank you, Joe Steiner.
Thanks for being with us too, buddy. Appreciate it. All right, we're going to get to one final break. We'll come back and wrap up the show to tell you what's ahead on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This is the Equine Forum on HRN.
Denali Stud, led by 2015 Farm Manager of the Year Gary Bush and Donnie Snellings, regarded as one of the best yearling managers in Kentucky. Denali has in recent years raised Grade 1 standouts Animal Kingdom, Taprit, and Her Eminency, while consigning Grade 1 winners Constellation and VE Day. Consistently a top 5 consigner, Denali has sold a $1 million horse at the Saratoga sale 3 years running and the sale topper in 2 of those years. Conrad Banderoff and his father Craig continue the Denali tradition of attention to detail and raising and selling Saturday afternoon horses.
Bloom Racing.
Majestic City could also still do it, and here he comes.
Majestic City running a big one.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pin hooking, and private race management.
Soul Driver the leader, though. Soul Driver in front.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwich, is that speaking?
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care. Just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way!
Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than two guys, sir.
You're right. What do we do?
Leave it to me, sir. Hello, boss. Send everyone you got to 215 Elm.
Okay.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later.
Right.
Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's.
Come in. Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Join us at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races on Saturday, September 23rd for the 9th annual Race for the Ribbon. Another stellar card in store. Seven stakes races worth over $600,000 and headlined by the Grade 3 $300,000 Charlestown Oaks. And proceeds from the evening will go towards the fight against breast cancer. The action kicks off with a special first post time of 5 p.m. Eastern. It's the Race for the Ribbon and the Grade 3 Charlestown Oaks here at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races.
If you haven't already made the Horse Racing Radio Network your home for thoroughbred racing action, then now is the time to visit horseracingradio.net. Check out our broadcast schedule to see where and when we will be bringing you the best in thoroughbred racing from the rail to your radio. As always, you can listen to our free live streaming anywhere in the world at horseracingradio.net. Also, make sure to follow us on our Twitter page at twitter.com/HRRN or on our fan page on Facebook. We'll bring all the best racing information to you with broadcast information, pictures from the track, and news updates as soon as we hear it. Remember, that's twitter.com/HRRN for all the updates as soon as we hear them. Don't miss out on all the action. Get in the game with Horse Racing Radio Network today at horseracingradio.net. That's horseracingradio.net.
Power.
Here's the wire, and it's a photo finish that goes to Tonalist.
Passion.
It was Creator and Destin right on the wire, and Iran Ortiz raised his whip in victory.
Performance.
It is Tepret and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Gainsway Stallion Tappet, North America's leading sire in 2014, 2015, and 2016. Tappet has sired 23 Grade 1 winners, 20 yearlings to bring $1 million or more at auction, and earners of more than $116 million on the racetrack. Tappet's newest Grade 1 winner, Dream Dancing, stormed home to take the Del Mar Oaks. Other Grade 1 winners include Frosted and Ring Weekend, Phillies Sweet Loretta, Pretty City Dancer, and Time and Motion, and the winners of three of the past four Belmont Stakes, Tonalist, Creator, and Tappet. Look for Tappet yearlings at the upcoming sales. Tappet, standing at Gainesway.
This is Jockey Rajiv Maharaj, and I love the Horse Racing Radio Network, the best show on the planet.
Our special guests today, Michael Blowen, Joe Steiner, and Nick Juarez, all receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. It's the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. You can embrace your passion and wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. Mike Penn and Jude Fell getting ready to wrap up this edition of the Equine Forum. It's been a wonderful visit to old friends here in Kentucky, and looking forward to our coverage of the Woodward and Spinway later this afternoon, 6 Eastern. Anthony Stabile and Mike Beer will anchor the coverage live from the spa. You can tune in worldwide at horseracingradio.net. So that should be an awful lot of fun. And JT, for us, we start to turn our attention to the road to the Breeders' Cup, and so many big Breeders' Cup prep races coming up, including opening weekend at Keeneland, where we'll be there to provide coverage of all the big races and those Breeders' Cup winning your ends.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an exciting time of year. Nothing better than the Breeders' Cup. And back in the day when Joe Steiner was first starting to ride. We used to talk about having the Breeders' Cup someday at Del Mar, and now it's going to happen.
Yeah, unbelievable. Cool. We'll be there, of course, with all that exclusive coverage here on the network. The only place you'll hear the Breeders' Cup on radio is with us on HRRN. You can head over to horseracingradio.net to check out a complete Breeders' Cup week schedule and a road to the Breeders' Cup schedule with all the races we'll bring your way leading up to the big day in November. It should be a lot of fun, and can't wait to get out to Del Mar to check it all out. You know, Del Mar was telling us, some of the executives said, we're glad that Keeneland went first, because Keeneland and Del Mar, in terms of a Breeders' Cup venue, somewhat similar. They're both a smaller venue, and they said, hey, we're glad Keeneland went first. We can kind of watch them and see how they handled it. They handled it beautifully. Now Del Mar looking to put on the show here in a few months.
Yeah, I'm sure that experience at Keeneland is going to help Del Mar quite a bit, and the Breeders' Cup's had their staff out in California for many, many months. They've moved into California. They're there until after the Breeders' Cup. So it's a exciting time of year for Del Mar and the Breeders' Cup. And, of course, racing fans from all over. It's going to be restricted, I believe, to 35,000 people. So you'll have to get your tickets if you haven't gotten them already.
We want to remind people that before you play the races this afternoon, you'll want to head over to our website, horseracingradio.net, and listen to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts. Anthony and Jude take you through all the big stakes races coming up this weekend and tell you who they like and who they think can run big, maybe even at a price. So head on over there, the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts. And our thanks to visitbarbados.org for making all of our Saturdays at Saratoga coverage possible again this year. I want to thank all of our guests for being here, including Michael Blowen and Joe Steiner. Jockey Nick Juarez with that outstanding story about Valid. And the Big A, Anthony Stabile, for joining us here today as well. It's been a lot of fun, and we're back at 6 Eastern with coverage of the Woodward and the Spinaway. For Jude Feld, for our producer Lee Delapina, and our Jimmy Johns of Lexington Studios, and for my beautiful wife Michelle, go Steelers.
Good night, Barbados.